Without which we can't even breathe. A single breath, every single breath that we are taking, we owe favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single breath, our sitting in this majlis, our coming into this majlis, our remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this majlis, through the zikr of somebody, through the zikr of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, everything is a favor to us. And we go to repay the favor. Not that Allah wants, will benefit from our repayment of the favor, but we ourselves are going to benefit our own soul by repaying the favor. Inshallah, as the subject progresses, I will be explaining more and more of what I mean about this. And we have given them a superiority, an exaltation to whom? Bani Adam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. He is talking about Bani Adam. He is talking about the progeny of Adam. He is talking about mankind from the time it was created until the time when there will be no existence on the face of the earth. He is saying, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we give them superiority and exaltation over much of what we have created. Over much of what we have created. And indeed, if you know what this tafdeel is, what this fazilat is, that has been given to Bani Adam, then we can shortly look at certain faculties, at certain powers, at certain qualities that have been given to mankind and not to anybody else. And if we utilize those qualities and faculties as Allah wants us to be utilized, then the potential of mankind is this, that he can prove himself, he or she can prove himself to be better than the angels. But if we misuse those faculties and those powers that have been given to us, then we fall from that grace and superiority and exaltation to such an extent that we become worse than the beasts. This is an introduction. Now let us go step by step further. A human being, if he tries to recognize himself, what is a human being? Bani Adam, what is this human being? Can you imagine the power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Let us say, from all the powers and all the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, one faculty only, the faculty of imagination. The faculty of imagination. Look at me, as I am speaking to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the power. As I am speaking to you, I am also simultaneously at the same time speaking to myself. Isn't it? As you are hearing me, at the same time as you are hearing me, you are also speaking to yourself. When you go to sleep, and when you are sleeping soundly, and you start having dreams, there are series of dreams that come. As you look at your dreams, and some of them are good dreams, some of them are bad dreams. But as you keep on getting the dreams, you are also constantly talking to yourself. You are constantly talking to yourself. If I am to mention a particular country in which one of your beloved ones, somebody whom you love very dearly, lives. As soon as I mention that country, your imagination is going to shift and go to that country and go and enter into the dwelling place of that person whom you love dearly, who is very much near to your heart. And as you go, as your imagination travels there and it comes back, can you explain what has happened? What you have done is you have traveled thousands of miles and come back within seconds. If I was to mention to you moon, What do you understand by moon? Immediately your imagination traveled and went to the moon. And perhaps you, as you have seen on the screens of your television, the pictures of the moon that have been released by NASA, and you know how moon looks very near, at a very near distance. What has happened is this, that you have literally traveled thousands of miles and you have returned back here in this majlis within splits of the seconds. Now this is our condition, your and my condition. What can you say about that Prophet whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fakhre mawjoodat? Fakhre mawjoodat. Why do people have to doubt the authenticity and the mystery of Mi'raj? When we can travel within splits of seconds, our imagination can travel within splits of seconds. When you can sit on your computer and communicate with people up and down, north and south, east and west, within seconds, why can't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show the same mystery better than that, much powerful than that, in order to introduce His Prophet, in order to introduce Sayyidul Mursaleen Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To jinn and ins, to all the creatures, because Rasulullah is not only the last of the messengers, he is not only a soldier on the human beings. Here I'm not talking about Muslims, I'm not talking about Mu'mineen, on all the human beings, but he is also a soldier on the invisible creatures who are called jinn. He is also on the angels. He is a soldier on everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this creation. So his miracle has to be the mysteries attached to the nabuwwat of Sarwar Kainat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam have to be much more powerful than we can ever imagine. And therefore, with these few examples, let me take you to some of the happenings or events that have taken place since I met you last in Ashra Zainabiyah. There are many changes that have taken place. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very emphatically says that He has honored Bani Adam, He has exalted Bani Adam, He has given him superiority. We have to see in this world, in the materialistic world in which we live, is this Bani Adam who has been given superiority and honor and respect and dignity? Dignity is something which is inborn with a human being. The dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed is your human right. And certain human rights are born with you. They are guaranteed in the Quran. The Quran, the last word, the absolute word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are guaranteed in the Quran. What we have to see is this. Since our subject matter concerns mankind, and it is high time that when now we speak about the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Rasulullah, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, we address it to the entire mankind. We come out from the cocoon's nest and we address ourselves to the entire mankind, because the mankind itself is in need of guidance. And as much as Muslims are in need of guidance, others also are in need of guidance. And that guidance and that salvation and that bliss and that peace and that tranquility and that contentment and that satisfaction, whether it is material satisfaction or spiritual satisfaction, can only be attained through Islam and through Islamic teachings. All other claims are shallow claims. Believe you me, they are shallow claims. I'll give you some examples. When we tell the people of the world that irrespective of what religion you belong, irrespective of what domain you belong to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is saying that He has given you honor and respect. Now honor and respect, in order to gain honor and respect, as Allah wills, you have to fulfill certain conditions. If this man behaves in the materialistic world in such a way, in such a selfish way, that he only lives for himself and nobody else. When you entrust somebody, or you give your money to somebody, or you put your savings into the banks, or you invest into certain funds, through, whether you like it or not, through your salary, which is deducted by way of pension funds and invested wherever the pension fund managers want. The least, the very least that you would expect is this, that those people whom you have entrusted your lifetime saving and your pension, they are going to behave in an honest way, they are going to be sincere, they are going to preserve and protect the trust which has been given to them. But what do we see in our world, in our advanced, civilized and progressive world, what do we see? We see a gross misuse of trust. What do we see? Today, you see, if you go into the world, more than half of the world, or I would say about two-thirds of the world population, if we are talking about the so-called third world countries, if we are talking about the so-called underdeveloped countries, two-thirds of them do not know how many zeros are there in a billion. Two-thirds of the world population are not aware how many zeros are there in a billion. And here, you hear and see on the television that a stockbroker has not only fiddled, has not only defrauded people with 1 billion, but 50 billion. Can you imagine? I mean, how are you going to trust people? How are you going to trust the system? There is something defective and deficient. There is something defective and deficient. And there are flaws in the very system itself. If there were no flaws in the system, if there was no deviation in the system would not create so many fraudsters. Those fraudsters who have ruined the life of thousands upon thousands, and you know where the secret is? Now here I am coming to the point, very important point, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, and we have given them honor, respect, we have given them superiority. It doesn't apply to all of them. Not out of compulsion, out of choice, because they don't like that it be applied on them. Because they don't like that it be applied on them. How? Because if you look at the system itself is built on no foundation. Islam has been telling us 1400 years ago in the Quran that this interest and the economy based on interest and usury is going to ruin you. Islam is very warning us 1400 years ago. And that's why Islam has prohibited the usury. Why? Because through usury you can't build an economic system. You can't build a financial system. If you build, then it happens so that even the banks who are dealing with the trillions of dollars, they go bankrupt. And they need to be rescued. This is happening in front of us or not?
Yeah.
So there is some deficiency in the system. There is some fault in the system. And we have to trace where is the fault in the system. Because the system is not built on sound foundation. Islam wants the human society to be built on sound foundation. Yeah. Islam does not want us to live in fantasy. This world and this life is not a fantasy, it is a reality. It is a perceptible reality. It is a reality because you are playing with the life of thousands of people. You see, but when the system accepts this as a basic premise and basic assumption, that the system wants to tolerate and is tolerating. It's tolerating billions of small lies. Small lies are allowed. Everything is allowed in business, war, and love. Isn't it? Everything is allowed in business, love, and war. And when you accept this, everything is allowed in business, love, and war, what happens is this. There are billions who speak small, small lies. But all these small lies accumulate to make a mountain, a Himalaya, which cannot be dissolved. Now, when you accept it under your system, then you want to tolerate misrepresentation of facts in the business world, in the commercial world. You are prepared to tolerate abuse of the consumer. You are prepared to tolerate the gross abuse and misuse of the trust that has been bestowed upon you. Then what happens is this. The system itself is going to create one big giant who is going to speak one big lie, which is going to cost you billions and trillions. Yeah. The system itself is going to. But Islam has taken so many precautions. So many precautions in the economic world. There is an entire system in Islam which is economic. I mean, look at the scholars that we, the followers of Al-Bayt, have produced. Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, ala Allahu maqamu, Shaykh Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, when he wrote his book Falsafatuna, when he wrote his book Iqtisaduna, our economy, our philosophy, Al-Bank al-Arabi, the bank without interest. Look at the theory that he has developed about the bank, how to establish a bank without the concept of interest. No interest in Islam. And these books, when they were published, and they attained such a fame, they became renowned, that they are being taught today at university level. People refer to them, the researchers refer to them, when they speak about the philosophical system in Islam, the economic system in Islam. The words of Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr al-Shaheed is being referred to. Now here, our Hawza, our system of education, our system, our conventional system. You see, people today, when they think about Hawza, they think that all these people who sit on the floor and write on the paper, putting it on their lap, and these people, they are going to remain where they were 1300 years ago. But you do not know what sort of progress is taking place. After I went from here last February in Ashra Zainabia, then Alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, Allah gave me an opportunity of visiting and doing the ziyarat of Imam Raza and Masum Yaqub alayhi salam. This is just to illustrate my points by way of examples, just to make things that I say become stronger in your mind. It was after 46 years that I went to Iran for the ziyarat of our eighth Imam, after 46 years. That means that I went, the last time I went, I was a teenager. But that scene, which you can see around the Zarif of Imam Raza alayhi salam, that is unforgettable. It is exactly as if time had stood still. As if this time there has been no change in the time. The same scene at any time of the day you go, at any time of the day, under any weather conditions, you will find the same crowd, the same rush, always in the middle of the night, in the morning, you'll find the same crowd. As if the time has stood still. And you will be able to see wonders there. I have seen with my own eyes big ulama wearing abba and taba and wearing the turbans. I have seen them sweeping the floor of the mazar of Imam Raza. I have seen it with my own eyes. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. This is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Bani Adam. Provided we are prepared to take full advantage of that honor that Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. I went in home to see the great library of Ayatullah al-Uzma Mar'ashi Najafi. You know, Ayatullah al-Uzma Mar'ashi Najafi, he built this library from nothing. He is perhaps the only marja who did not have an opportunity of going to Hajj because he could not afford it. Not because he didn't have money, he could not afford it from his own savings. Otherwise, he was marja in taqleed and there were millions of dollars of homes that were passing through him. Millions of dollars of homes. And this is the marja who wrote in his memoir, and it is displayed there in his library, in which he said, 24 hours have passed that I haven't had anything to eat. 24 hours have passed. I am waiting for somebody to give me a wakala of reciting the Quran for the marhumin or reciting qaza namaz for the sawab of the marhumin, and whatever I will get, I will buy something to eat. Can you imagine this? The man who is controlling millions of dollars of the Qums money coming to him from his muqallideen, but because Qums money did not belong to him, and he did not avail himself, and he did not help himself with the Qums money, he is waiting for an opportunity when he will have enough saving, so that the Hajj becomes a taklif shar'i on him, becomes wajib shar'an for him to go. That opportunity did not come. Today, if you look at his library, it is the third largest library in the Islamic world and the first in the Shiite world. Do you know what? We took a guided tour through the library, 7 floors of the library in Qom, guided tour. They have bought manuscripts. There are 67,000 manuscripts in that library, written manuscripts. People wrote, in those days there was no printing. People translated their knowledge in writing and they left it. There will come somebody who will take advantage of this. Their knowledge is going to benefit somebody. And that the opportunity came. Now those manuscripts, some of them are very badly damaged. So there are courses available in the Tehran University of how to conduct a surgery on old manuscripts and how to reconstruct the manuscripts. So that the information that is missing can be implanted on the manuscripts which are torn, badly torn, badly damaged. 67,000 manuscripts. 1 million printed books are there in the library. The library houses 1 million printed books. See, if you start something with a good niyyah, with a good intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His blessings and helps you from everywhere, from even from the angles from where you could not have imagined that help is going to come. Ni'mat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His ni'mat, showers His blessings upon you, provided you bring a good niyyah. If you bring a bad niyyah, that people have entrusted you with their money, and for you everything is this world. This world is everything. There is no hereafter. So you try to make most of this world itself. What is the result? The result is the absolute abuse which is taking place in the world of business, in the world of economy, in the world of finance, in the civilized world, and as a result of which thousands upon thousands of people are ruined. Irrespective of the fact that they may be having their family responsibilities, their children may come on the poverty line, then they do not care. They do not care because they know that nobody is going to hang them for the great fraud that they have committed. Nobody is going to hang anybody. And people commit murders and they get away in 6 year sentence. So, or they get suspended sentences. Or if they get 12 year sentence, half of it is wiped away for good behavior. They are given discount for good behavior. This is happening or not? Is this happening in our world or not? So where is the fact? There is somewhere that the humanity has lost the thread altogether. of the purpose of creation. We have been brought here with a set purpose, and we have to fulfill that purpose. Islam came with sublime qualities, with sublime teachings. Islam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has bestowed upon you the favors and exalted you, He wants you to repay that favor by behaving like human beings and not beasts in this world. Organize your life in such a way that you like for others what you like for yourself. This is the wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah salam. Ya Bunay, ihbib li nafsika ma tuhibbu, ihbib li ghayrika ma tuhibbu li nafsika. Always love and like for others what you love and like for yourself. As you would like to be treated by others, treat others. If you like others to lie to you, then it will bounce back. Because this life is based on cause and effect. The cause and effect is part and parcel, integral part of our life. You are going to get the reward as you have sowed. You have sowed, if you have sowed the seed, which is good, which is virtuous, which is full of hasanat, then it will be repaid to you with goodness, with virtues, and with hasanat. But if you sow the seeds which are based on vices, on doing bad to others, then it will be repaid to you exactly in the same way. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from the faculty of imagination, other faculties also He has given to us. There are some psychologists who speak about the sixth sense. About the sixth sense. You know, when a human being is facing any danger, something prompts him inside to tell him that somebody is trying to deceive him or somebody is trying to harm him. That sixth sense. For example, if you are crossing a road, and a car is coming from across the road with a speed, you would not have even taken into consideration that there will be a car coming from nowhere with a speed. And at that time, a power inside you prompts you, and you save yourself, or you push yourself back. That, the psychologist called, is a sixth sense. The sense that prompts you of any danger which you would not even expect it. Let me translate the same thing in Islamic terminology. Now in Islamic terminology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed certain angels to guide us. There are certain angels who guide us. And when we face any danger, it is the job of that angel to prompt us that there is a harm. Now if we have built a life whereby we have only deceived others for our own benefit, we have lied to others, we have been cunning in our behavior, we have been deceitful in our conduct, what will happen is this: when under the laws of cause and effect, when somebody is going to deceive us or lie to us, or he is going to be cunning against us, what will happen is this: the sixth sense is not going to work. That angel is going to turn away, and you are going to be repaid with what you have sowed. See, this is what happens. When you talk to anybody and tell him that if you are suffering in life, are you suffering because somebody has deceived you? He will say yes. Tell him, recall, go back and play your life. Play your past in your mind and see whether you have done something similar to others. And there will always be an occurrence whereby we are repaid exactly in the same way that we have sowed. This is the Islamic sense. Therefore, Islam tells us, be aware, don't try to harm anybody if you don't like anybody to harm you. Don't deceive anybody if you don't like to be deceived. Don't try to speak lies. If you don't like anybody to speak lies to you, then stick for death in this life. So be aware. Now Islam, the tarbiyat that Islam expounds on us, tarbiyat and the teaching that Islam gives us is for our own benefit. Islam wants us to be saved in this life and the hereafter. Islam wants us to live this life in peace and tranquility, in as much as when we complete our days, our number days, our temporary period in this life, which is a trust on us, and we go in the life towards the life hereafter, which is a permanent life, which is an everlasting life, which has got more bounties than you can ever imagine in this life, then what we will be able to see under the Islamic teachings is this, that Islam wants us to live such a life that we become a source of pride even for the angels. When the angels look at us, they become proud of us. We become a source of pride. But if we live a materialistic life with utmost selfishness, with utmost misery, with greed, that we want to eat with two hands and we don't want to give, Islam does not accept this. Islam says no. And by following this sort of conduct, you yourself are going to suffer, not only in this life, but in the hereafter. Now this is this Islam that Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduced in front of the humanity through the Quran. The Quran, which has got so many mysteries, so many miracles, not only incorporated in its warnings, but incorporated in its message as well. The warnings and expressions of the Quran are mysterious, in as much as the message of the Quran is mysterious. So our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 23 years in order to convey this message. This message, this revelation, came down on the Prophet in the course of 23 years. The Prophet faced so much trouble, so much hardship, so much difficulties at the hands of the Kuffar Quraysh, at the hands of the Mushrikeen, at the hands of the Munafiqeen as well. Those who adopted Islam and embraced Islam, but they remained on their previous conduct and on the previous styles, the Prophet withstood all these difficulties and hardships so that we may live in peace, so that we get the right guidance. Now, after going away from this world, Rasulullah is leaving Islam as a trust, as an amanah, in the hands of the Ummah, in the hands of his community members. How do you want that somebody should come up in the midst of this community and tries to play havoc with the Islamic teachings, with the Islamic tarbiyah, regardless, though giving disregard, complete disregard to the teachings of the Quran, to the Sunnah of the Prophet? Now here, if the Prophet is not there, Prophet has left the true heirs of his knowledge, the true heirs of his teachings. Do you expect Banu Umayyah, who have left the shirk, you have left the shirk only in words, but not in action, but not in action. They have embraced Islam in words, but not in action. Today, if Rasulullah is not there, Husayn ibn Ali is there, who is the true heir of Rasulullah. Do you think if Rasulullah was there in the place of Imam Husayn, he would have withstood this mischief that was inflicted on the dignity and on the respectability and on the honor of Islam by Banu Umayyah? Would the Prophet have withstood this thing? Would the Prophet have stood looking at this scenario without any objection, without putting up a fight? No, if the Prophet wouldn't have done it, how can you expect the heir of the Prophet, the warriors of the Prophet, to keep quiet when so much injustice was taking place? The entire message of the Quran is built on the message of justice. You only, the message of justice is the one that puts so much matter into the teachings of the Quran. Here, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is seeing with his own eyes that there is so much injustice taking place. Can you imagine that prophet who gave the ummah that sense of becoming insan from bashariyat? رسول خدا نے مسلمان کو بشر ہونے سے مسلمان بنایا, انسان بنایا. رسول خدا نے انسانیت کی تعلیم دی اس آدمی کو کہ جو جاہلیت میں ڈوبا ہوا تھا, کہ جو ضلالت میں ڈوبا ہوا تھا, جو گمراہی میں ڈوبا ہوا تھا, جو جانوروں سے سلوک کیا کرتا تھا. رسول نے اس بشر کو انسان بنایا, انسان بنانے کے بعد اسے مسلمان بنایا, مسلمان بنانے کے بعد اسے مومن بنایا, مومن بنانے کے بعد اسے تقویٰ کی تعلیم دی, تقویٰ کی تعلیم دینے کے بعد اس کو کہہ دیا کہ اے بندے مسلمان, جو ہی تو تقویٰ کی منزلوں میں آگے بڑھتا چلا جائے گا تو فخر ملائکہ بن جائے گا, لیکن اگر تو حیوان کی منزلوں تک آ جائے گا تو پھر حیوانوں سے بھی بدتر بن جائے گا. یہ ہے اسلام کہ جو امانت کے طور پر رسول خدا نے مسلمان کے ہاتھ میں رکھا, اور وہ مسلمان جس نے اسلام کے ساتھ خیانت کی. اب خیانت کرتے ہوئے آپ کیا تصور کرتے ہیں کہ یہ حسین ابن علی جو وارث اسلام ہے, جو وارث نبی اسلام ہے, جو وارث کعبہ ہے, جو وارث زلزلہ و مینا ہے, جو وارث ہند و عرب ہے, جو وارث انبیاء ہے, جو وارث اولیاء ہے, جو وارث ائمہ ہے, جو فخر ملائکہ ہے, وہ خاموش رہے کچھ نہ کہے؟ نہیں, یہ نہیں ہو سکتا. حسین ابن علی نے کہا وہ وقت آ گیا ہے کہ جس کا وعدہ میں نے اپنے جد سے کیا تھا کہ اگر اسلام پر کوئی خطرہ آئے گا تو میں چپ نہیں رہوں گا. نہیں, میں تو نہیں, میری بیویاں بھی چپ نہیں رہیں گی, میری عورتیں بھی چپ نہیں رہیں گی. نہیں, عورتوں کو ایک طرف چھوڑیے, میرے بچے بھی چپ نہیں رہیں گے, میرے بچے بھی چپ نہیں رہیں گے. موت کے سیلاب میں ہر خشک و تر بہ جائے گا, ہاں مگر نام حسین ابن علی رہ جائے گا, ہاں مگر نام حسین ابن علی رہ جائے گا. ایک وقت آیا, وہ وقت آیا, حسین ابن علی آمادہ ہو رہے ہیں, قربانی کا وقت آ گیا ہے, اسلام بلا رہا ہے, قربانی کا وقت آ رہا ہے. حسین ابن علی نصف شب بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں مسجد نبوی میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں. میں کہتا ہوں اے مولا, ارے آپ آدھی رات کو آپ مسجد میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, کون سی نماز پڑھنے کے لیے آئے ہیں؟ یہ تو نماز کا وقت نہیں ہے. تو شاید میرا امام پلٹ کر یہ کہے کہ ارے شب کی نماز پڑھنے آیا ہوں, ساری زندگی حسین ابن علی سے شب کی نماز نہ چھٹی, یہاں تک آخری وصیت جو حسین ابن علی نے کی جناب زینب کو یاد دلایا, اے بہن زینب جب شب کی نماز کے لیے اٹھو مجھے نہ بھولنا. یہ اہتمام دیکھیے کس طرح حسین ابن علی اللہ کا شکر ادا کر رہے ہیں, کس طرح حسین ابن علی یہ وہ ہستی ہے کہ جس کی ایک ایک سانس اللہ کی عبادت کر رہی ہے. یہاں پر پیغام آیا, اے امام آپ کو والی مدینہ ملید نے بلایا ہے. حسین سمجھ گئے شاید کوئی ایسا پیچیدہ مسئلہ یا کوئی بڑا مسئلہ آیا ہوگا کہ جس کی وجہ سے نصف شب مجھے بلایا جا رہا ہے, آدھی رات کو مجھے دربار میں بلایا جا رہا ہے. حسین گھر میں آئے, دیکھا بی بی زینب بے قراری سے انتظار کر رہی ہے. کہا بہن مجھے والی مدینہ نے بلایا ہے. کیا ہے والی مدینہ کو، مدینہ کے گورنر کو، کہ فوراً حسین ابن علی کو طلب کر کے یزید کے ہاتھ پر بیعت طلب کی جائے، اور اگر بیعت کرنے سے منع کرے تو فوراً ان کو قتل کیا جائے، ان کا سر طلب کیا جائے اور شام سر بیچا جائے۔ آج ان بے حیا بے عشوت مسلمان کے جو یوٹیوب پر یزید کی حمایت نہیں کر رہے ہیں اور یہ کہہ رہے ہیں یوٹیوب پر کہ یزید ذمہ دار نہیں تھا، ارے ادب کے اندھو ذرا اپنی ہی تاریخ پڑھ کے دیکھو کہ یہ پہلا پروانہ آ رہا ہے جس میں یزید پلی یہ لکھ رہا ہے کہ حسین اگر بیعت کرنے سے انکار کرے تو ان کا سر طلب کیا جائے اور شام بیچ دیا جائے۔ وہ تاریخ نہیں پڑھتے، تاریخ نہیں پڑھتے اور مسلمانوں کو مس گائڈ کر رہے ہیں اور زلالت پہ ڈبو دیے جا رہے ہیں۔ یہاں پر حسین ابن علی نے سب سن لیا، اس کے بعد حسین اپنی جگہ سے اٹھے، جانے کے لیے اٹھے۔ ولید نے کہا مجھے حکم دیا گیا ہے آپ سے بیعت کروں۔ کہا دیکھو یہ بیعت کا جو مسئلہ ہے اس کی وابستگی قوم سے ہے، یہ قوم قوم کا مسئلہ ہے، ایک انفرادی مسئلہ نہیں ہے، یہ پرسنل مسئلہ نہیں ہے، یہ قوم کا مسئلہ ہے۔ اگر میں رات کی تاریخی میں تمہیں بیعت دے دوں تو تم کیا خاموش ہو جاؤ گے؟ کل جب تمام مسلمانوں کو بلاؤ بیعت طلب کرو تو مجھے بھی بلانا، میرا جو جواب ہوگا وہ تمام مسلمانوں کے سامنے میں ظاہر کر دوں گا۔ لہذا ولید جو ہے وہ مقتنع ہو گیا، سیٹسفائی ہو گیا اور اس نے کہا ٹھیک ہے آپ جا سکتے ہیں۔ مروان